this is Sasha Adi, host of the PCOS Challenge radio show, designed to help women overcome polycystic ovarian syndrome, a hormonal and reproductive disorder that affects 1 in 10 women of childbearing age. We'll be bringing you the best information on fertility, hirsutism, weight loss, nutrition, mental health, and other conditions surrounding PCOS. The goal of the PCOS Challenge is to inspire and motivate you to make positive changes in your life. So tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. This is Sasha Adi. Help spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge. Hello, everyone. This is Sasha Adi, your host of the PCOS Challenge radio show and also the PCOSChallenge.com support and networking site. Our topic today is a very important one for women with PCOS. It's about the connection between polycystic ovarian syndrome and diabetes. Before we get started, I wanted to remind you that all PCOS Challenge educational and support programs for women with polycystic ovarian syndrome are made possible thanks to the support of listeners like you. PCOS Challenge is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your contributions are tax deductible. Please donate to PCOS Challenge to help us to continue to carry out our mission to support women with PCOS at PCOSChallenge.com, PCOSChallenge.org, or PCOS.tv. Okay, our guest today is Constance Brown Riggs. She's a registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator, and national spokesperson for the American Dietetic Association. She's also the author of The African American Guide to Living Well with Diabetes and Eating Soulfully and Healthfully with Diabetes. She has established herself as an expert on the subject of nutrition, diabetes, and the cultural issues that impact the health and health care of people of color. She has been featured as an expert in national magazines such as Essence, Heart and Soul, Real Health, and Diabetic Cooking. Through her active nutrition counseling practice in New York, she sees hundreds of individual patients, and you can learn more about her work at eatingsoulfully.com. We are very excited to learn more about how we can live healthier lives with PCOS and diabetes. Constance, thank you so much for joining the PCOS Challenge radio show.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Thanks. So we have a lot to discuss today, so I just want to jump right into it. And I want you to tell us about diabetes and why we should pay attention to this disease.
Well, as you know, diabetes has reached epidemic proportions, across the nation as well as not just in the United States, but, you know, globally, it's reached epidemic mm-hmm. proportions. And it's of particular concern for anyone with polycystic ovarian syndrome. There's a great link there, and part of that link has to do with insulin resistance. And the insulin resistance actually sets up a state where the body is hyper-producing insulin, which is the hormone that allows the body to utilize the food properly. And over time of this hypersecretion, it may reach the point that it just can't keep up with the demands of the body. So it's not producing sufficient amounts of insulin, and that's when an individual will go on to develop type 2 diabetes. So that is the, you know, the connection between polycystic mm-hmm. ovarian syndrome and diabetes and why we need to really pay close attention to it.
Okay. And so let's go over the types of diabetes that there are. I know, you know, you used the term type 2. What other forms of diabetes is out there?
Right. Well, there's type 1 diabetes, which is type of diabetes where an individual's body is no longer able to produce any insulin, and or at least we'll say not enough insulin to support life, and that individual does require daily insulin injections in order to live. And with type 2 diabetes, typically what we see is first the body is producing plenty of insulin, but it's unable to utilize that insulin properly. And also there that may be coupled with insulin resistance. So again, we have that insulin resistance, and then we also end up with insulin deficiency. So that's type 2. And that person with type 2 may be able to be treated and managed without any medication at all, or they may require medication. And over time, typically the longer an individual's had it, they require more than one medication to manage it successfully. And a person with type 2 may also be managed with insulin as well. And then there's also gestational diabetes, and that's diabetes that occurs during pregnancy. So the mother enters the pregnancy, she doesn't have diabetes, but as a result of the hormones associated with pregnancy, which make the body more resistant to the action of insulin, the mother's body is unable to keep up with the demands, and she develops diabetes during pregnancy. And that's usually diagnosed around the 24th or 28th week of pregnancy. That would be diagnosed.
Okay. And for a woman who's pre-diabetic or a woman with PCOS who develops gestational diabetes, what does this mean for her and the baby?
Well, the important thing during pregnancy with gestational diabetes, of course, is to control the blood sugar. So that's of utmost importance. That they ideally will be able to sit down with a registered dietitian for a consultation who will help them with meal planning. And it's important to keep those blood sugar levels under control. If the blood sugar levels are not under control, what tends to happen is the baby and the mother share, okay, they share the same bloodline. And, you know, so as we say, the glucose crosses the placenta. So what happens is the baby's body is going to produce excessive amounts of insulin to control its blood sugar. And the risk is that you end up with a very large baby. Insulin is what we consider a growth hormone. So you can end up with a very large baby. And also, of course, that puts you in a high-risk category during the pregnancy. And, you know, they're a risk to the baby at birth as well. So it's very important to keep the blood sugar levels under control, not to gain an excessive amount of weight during the pregnancy, and as I said, really to sit down with a registered dietitian who can help with meal planning.
Okay.
Actually, you know, when I get a phone call with someone with gestational diabetes, you know, we treat that as an urgent visit. We get that individual mm-hmm. into the office as soon as possible so that we can take steps to, you know, to ensure that everything is fine.
Okay, so who's at the highest risk for developing diabetes?
Well, African Americans, Latinos are at high risk. We can say it's a strong genetic, predisposition. So if there's diabetes in the family, if you're the mother's line, of course, is the stronger link there. So if your mother has diabetes or your grandmother, then you're at increased risk for developing diabetes. Being overweight is a major risk factor for diabetes, type 2 diabetes.
Oh, wow. So, and this is probably why so many women with PCOS who are overweight are at extremely high risk of developing diabetes.
Sure. It's somewhat of what I call, I think of it a little bit as a vicious cycle.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, yeah, because you think of, as you said, what's going on just in terms of PCOS alone, you know, with that, the excess androgen hormone and that linkage in terms of insulin. You know, it's thought that the excessive insulin will also increase the production of androgen. And we know the high levels of androgen are associated with the weight gain. And the
yeah.
weight gain is associated with increased insulin resistance. And so, you know.
Vicious cycle.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Okay, so how does one control diabetes? And is there a way to prevent the onset of diabetes or delay the onset of diabetes?
Well, that's really good news. There is. We've got a large body of research that has demonstrated that we can prevent diabetes, prevent type 2 diabetes, and if we can't prevent it, we certainly can slow down the progression or the onset of type 2 diabetes. So the important thing is for that individual who may be overweight to get their weight under control and losing as little as 7%. So in most cases, maybe you're talking 10, 15 pounds can have a significant impact in terms of reducing that chance of developing type 2. And then, of course, being physically active. So there, the goal is about 30 minutes, 5-7 days out of the week, 30 minutes of physical activity, taking a nice brisk walk, that can make a difference. And then, of course, not overeating. So we talk about reducing weight, we talk about physical activity, but also the way that one eats has a lot to do with it. So the goal is not to overeat, never to stuff yourself, to have large plates of food. You're far better off to have small, frequent feedings than to have one or two, you know, gigantic meals during the course of the day.
Right. And, but what about the many women who have PCOS and also eating disorders? I know I meet a lot of women who binge eat and they feel that this is not controllable, you know, and so how does that how can they help that? Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I recommend in working with individuals is certainly it's pretty much, you think of the same diet that we have for that person with diabetes would be the type of diet for that person with polycystic ovarian syndrome, whereas they're not consuming large amounts of carbohydrate at one time because it's the carbohydrate that really causes the major problem for them. If they're overeating on carbohydrate, they're causing their body to really produce a lot more insulin because of the insulin resistance, and that's part of that whole hunger. The food they're eating is not getting into the cells, and they've got all this extra insulin, so that sets up that whole, you know, hormonal cascade of events, if you will, in terms of that excessive hunger. So it makes it extremely hard to manage. However, if they're eating smaller portions, less carbohydrate at the meal, and if you think of the plate method, for an example, where half the plate is filled with a non-starchy vegetable, more of your leafy green type vegetables, asparagus, broccoli, spinach, you know, that would make up half the plate. And then the other half, divided in half again, a quarter is going to be the protein, so that's fish, chicken, or the red meat, and the other quarter would be the starch, whether it's a baked potato, pasta, sweet potato, so whatever the starch is. So it's a smaller quantity. And if they're eating that way, it's really going to help to control some of that excessive insulin, and that will help to control that insatiable appetite that they have that causes them to binge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question from Mrs. Wood from the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a question. I'm not sure if she's diabetic or pre-diabetic, but she does have PCOS. And this is about fertility. She wants to know if there's anything she could do, you know, how much weight. She's 200 pounds, 5'6".
Mm-hmm.
And she's lost 22 pounds in 11 months, but she hasn't gotten pregnant in 6 years, and she wants to know if there is a way to improve her fertility.
Well, certainly the weight loss is part of it, but it's not the only challenge in terms of when we talk about PCOS. There are so many other factors that go into it as well. But what I would certainly recommend to her is that she continues to work on the weight loss, because that is just part of it, you know. And I don't think anyone can say with 100% certainty exactly how many pounds, you know, for the individual
right,
it will take.
Right.
And that's really it. You know, they have general, things that they put out. Like, as I said, when we talk about diabetes, it's about 7%. In terms of fertility, they may throw out numbers like about 10%.
And 10%, right.
Yeah.
Everybody's heard the 10% number, right?
Yeah, and as we know, and as she knows from her own personal experience, that, you know, that's not necessarily it. So the important thing is to continue to eat healthy, to get the weight down, increase the physical activity. And, you know, that may be it. And sometimes, you know, you work with the physicians. Sometimes they will put them on medication as well to, you know, increase the chances in terms of fertility.
What about lean women with PCOS? And how prone are they to getting diabetes?
Well, lean women also can still have some insulin resistance. And so certainly from the weight perspective, they would be less likely, you know, simply from the weight perspective. But we know that hyperinsulinemia, as we call it, secreting, you know, large amounts of insulin, kind of goes along as part of the syndrome. So it's very individual there as well. Certainly the doctor, when he does the workup, this is one of the things that he's looking at to see whether or not that woman is hypersecreting insulin.
Right.
And again, it's just one of the factors within the syndrome, and it's different for everyone.
Okay. I'm going to take a 30-second break, and we'll be right back. I have a few more questions from the audience for you.
Okay.
Tile Balance DCI is a natural alternative for PCOS. It has helped tremendously with my skin. Hair on my head feels thicker. No more blood sugar roller coaster. Since I've been on DCI, I've lost weight and noticed a reduction in facial hair growth. I have hope that I may actually be able to conceive naturally. Log on to ChiralBalance.com today to learn more about DCI and Chiral Balance's money-back guarantee.
Okay, Constance, can you tell us a little bit more about your practice and give us your contact information so that we'd be able to contact you?
Sure. I am located in Long Island, and anyone that would like to contact me certainly can do so. I have a contact sheet on my website, and that is www.eatingsoulfully.com. And there you will see the tab at the top for contacting me. So they just have to fill that out. And, you know, certainly when someone comes into the office, the first thing that I have to do is take that complete history. And, you know, I like to look at recent blood work. That really helps me in formulating the meal plan. And, of course, getting that full history to see exactly what's going on. Doing, as they call it, the anthropometric measures, you know, the height, the weight, and the body mass index, all of that. And then from there, I determine, you know, how much carbohydrate is going to work best for that individual, again, based on the symptoms that they'll provide, if they have that excess hunger, if they're, they tend to be binge eaters, you know, that insatiable appetite. Well, all of that factors into the amount of carbohydrate and how we divide the meal plan up. But that's the starting point. And typically, you know, once we get someone on that type of meal plans, small frequent feedings, not over-consuming the carbohydrate, it does help to calm down that appetite. And certainly we know if you're walking around and you're not starving or you don't have that feeling of starvation all day, mm-hmm. it's much easier to concentrate and to follow, you know, a healthy meal plan and to get the weight under control. But if, you know, if your
right.
appetite is raging, it's extremely difficult to think of anything else except let me stop this feeling, let me eat until, you know, and it's insatiable. It's really insatiable.
Right.
It's what
right.
we call, you know, starvation in the midst of hunger. They're eating, but because of the insulin resistance, nothing is getting into the cells. And so as far as the cells are concerned, there's no food there. Meanwhile, the food is just waiting to get in. You know, it's backed up in the bloodstream, waiting to get into the cells. And it's, you know, it's just a vicious cycle there. So meal planning is so important. It really is.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And as you mentioned earlier, activity, exercise, that does help to draw the insulin into the cells, and
that's right.
You know, that absolutely should not be overlooked. So we have a question from Cynthia. She was diagnosed last year. She's lost a little over 27 pounds, over 13% of her total weight. Mm-hmm. She eats whole grains, veggies. She cut out all sugar except natural sugars from fruits. And she, I guess, she's trying to conceive, didn't happen last month. She's also on metformin, and she just wants to know if there's anything else that she should be doing, or is she overdoing it? She cut out all sugar.
Well, it sounds like she's on the right track, but I think, and this is something that many people misunderstand, if you will, it's not just the quality of the carbohydrate that you're eating, it's mm-hmm. the quantity as well. So she's absolutely doing the right thing by having whole grains and, you know, and the vegetables and the fruits, and but they all have carbohydrate. And it doesn't mean eliminate those foods, but you still have to control how much you're taking in. Because it's the more carbohydrate you consume at one time, the more insulin your body has to make to bring that blood sugar level down, to handle that amount of carbohydrate. And that's part of, you know, of the syndrome with the insulin resistance. So she's eating the right types of foods, but the quantity may be the bigger problem. And it's the quantity at one sitting. It's, we're not even talking about all day. We're talking about one sitting.
Wow. Yeah, but she's done pretty well and lost over 13% of her total body weight. So, you know, she's probably on the right track, as you mentioned.
Sure.
Yeah, but for some people, it just takes a little while. You know, she's trying to conceive. It takes a little while, and that process is frustrating.
Yeah. And as I said, I think the other end of it is they kind of lose sight of, or, and maybe they're just not that aware of the pathophysiology. You know, so it's that excessive insulin, and what they're looking at, as I mentioned early on, is the fact that the insulin may actually increase the production of androgen, and that androgen has a lot to do with fertility, you know, so.
Oh, yeah, it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, is there a connection between diabetes and cardiovascular disease?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, when someone is diagnosed with diabetes, you know, we say their risk for heart disease is exactly the same as a person who already has existing heart disease. So again, it's so important to get the weight under control, get physically active, and to watch the types of fat that one is taking in the diet. That's also very helpful at reducing the risk for heart disease. And we talk about the heart healthy fats, so that's, you know, the olive oil, canola oil, flaxseed. But again, it all has calories, so it's got to control how much you take in as well.
Right. And what's the best way to control how much we take in? What strategies do you think work well for people?
Well, when you think of eating small, frequent feedings, that will help. Because you know, just even if nothing more than psychologically, you know, okay, I'm eating, I'm not having a large amount of food now, but in another 2 hours, I'll be able to have another small snack. That's one way. The other thing is having protein with the meal also helps in terms of satiety. So that can help you from, you know, prevent you from overeating as well. Even a small amount of heart healthy fat, a little bit of olive oil, you know, with a salad, for an example, olive oil and vinegar is much better than like a commercial salad dressing that may be loaded with sugar. And yet having that little bit of fat from that olive oil helps to provide satiety in the meal. So sometimes people, they're trying so hard and they're having all these fat-free foods and they're still not satisfied and they just, you know, want more and more. So it's very difficult to control the portion that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the plate method, as I mentioned previously.
Oh, yes, the plate method.
Yeah.
I have a question from Christine. She doesn't have PCOS. However, she has diabetes on both sides of her family. She is athletic. She's eating healthily. So all of these healthy habits, will they prevent her getting diabetes, or, you know, or just delay it?
Well, it's, you know, again, we talk about the risk factors and who's
mm-hmm.
at risk, but again, no one has a crystal ball and can say with 100% certainty that she absolutely will not get diabetes, you know, but she's doing the right thing, definitely. You know, I fall into the same category. I've got diabetes on both sides of the family, and so the best that I can do is to make sure that I'm physically active, I keep the weight under control, I eat healthy, of course, go for regular checkups. So if there's anything creeping up, if there's any pre-diabetes or anything, that, you know, I can kind of nip it in the bud. But there's just no guarantee. But we do everything we can, and hopefully, it, you know, we don't develop diabetes.
Okay. And I have another question about getting pregnant with PCOS. Are there foods that one should not eat? This is from Mrs. Wood. What should not eat to help get pregnant with PCOS?
No, it goes back to the same thing that seems like I keep repeating, but it's so true.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's the balance. It's eating healthy. It's not overeating at a meal. It's consuming, you know, small amounts of carbohydrate. This does not by any means mean no carbohydrate, but not overeating, not just having a big plate of pasta as the meal, letting that be the main entree. And instead, just as I mentioned previously, think and picture that plate and have half the plate with the non-starchy vegetables. The other half, just one quarter, is going to be the starch. And then the other quarter would be the meat. And that way you're not overdoing it. You're not overeating, because it's the excessive insulin that is part of the problem with not being able to conceive, the insulin connection to the androgen. And that's where that comes in. So there's not a particular food that I would say not to eat, but again, it goes to the way that you're eating the food.
And sometimes some people have other things going on, and they do need to always check with their doctors, endocrinologists, reproductive endocrinologists.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. So there's sometimes our body is a huge maze, a huge
mm-hmm.
puzzle, and there are many pieces that fit together. I think, you know, if you're working with a registered dietitian, do you work with doctors?
Oh yeah,
I think that's important. Yeah.
Oh sure, we have to communicate. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And just as you said, you know, sometimes, and I understand, you know, everyone's frustration, they're looking for kind of like that silver bullet. What is the
mm-hmm.
one thing that's going to make the difference?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our bodies are complex, and it's not
right.
that easy. It's, you know, there are so many factors, so many things that go into the syndrome that need to be addressed. And so, you know, we do the best that we absolutely can, and then we have to, it's ruling out. You know, well, if I'm eating healthy and I've lost the weight and I'm still not conceiving, so let's look at what else is going on. And that's what the doctor does.
Right. And what about supplementation? And, you know, a lot of us don't eat all of the nutrients that we need. What about supplementation?
Well, then you think of it exactly as, you know, as the question states, supplementing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
mm-hmm.
instead of, it's supplementing.
Right.
And I think of it as an insurance policy, you know. So a good multiple vitamin, if you're missing anything, a good multiple vitamin will fulfill that need. But it should not be taking supplements in place of the meal or instead of eating the meal. It goes along with the meal as an insurance policy.
So thank you so much, Constance, for joining us today. That concludes today's program. Again, give us your contact information so that we'd be able to contact.
It's,
and tell us the names of your books again.
Okay. My book is The African-American Guide to Living Well with Diabetes, and that will certainly help anyone with PCOS or diabetes as far as meal planning, controlling the amount of carbohydrate. It talks about how to, you know, distribute carbohydrate throughout the day. And then my website is www.eatingsoulfully.com. There they can read more about me as well as information on the book, and certainly my contact information is on the website as well.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It's been an informative show.
You're welcome.
And any last thoughts for, final thoughts for women with PCOS and those with diabetes?
Well, it's the same as I tell everyone with diabetes. You know, both are chronic conditions, and a chronic condition can wear you down, as they say. So it's really, you know, just trying to think about it one day at a time, and meditation, relaxation is always very important. You know, we look at it from the body-mind-spirit connection. And that could be a whole nother interview.
Right.
But it's so important to, you know, to think of it that way and just take it one day at a time.
Thank you so much for being on our show. And we hope to speak with you again.
Absolutely.
Soon.
It would be my pleasure.
Okay. Thank you.
You're
Enjoy
welcome.
The rest of your day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the PCOS Challenge Radio Show. Tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. Also, be sure to join our social network at PCOSChallenge.com and sign up for our newsletter. This is Sasha Ati. Help spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge.